The title of this message is The Hidden Treasure. The Hidden Treasure. We were just talking about the service this morning and Dominic's testimony, and you wonder, you know, you're 17 years old, what's going on? Well, you know what happened when he was talking this morning? I realized something. The scripture in Daniel says, "And they that do understand will instruct many." It's not enough to say something. You have to understand what you're saying. He understands it. And anyway, that was a blessing to me. And you know what? That's the other testimony of this church. As I keep listening to the testimonies and the things that people are saying, I realize we're starting to understand. We're starting to understand. And you know what? Once you understand, it can't be taken away. You can let it go, but the devil can't steal it. He can't take it from you. He wants to understand. See, we have a whole church system out here that is not understanding. And as a matter of fact, one of the statements that I wanted to make this morning and kept forgetting it was the fact that the deception of the devil is trying to convince people to believe in something by faith. Just accept it by faith. Irregardless of what the Bible says. Like the Trinity. Of what you have to remember, Tertullian said, you have to accept it by faith. You believe it by faith. And if you don't believe in it, you can't prove the Trinity from the Bible. But if you don't believe in the Trinity, you'll go to hell. See, that's a stupid statement. That's not faith. That's stupidity. So you have to, in order to believe anything, you have to have the scriptures as a foundation for it. Now, the other point this morning, these are two things that came this morning, early this morning. The truth offends. The truth offends. And because it opposes the devil, and the devil is the god of this world, and the devil has most people under his control. So if he hears it, if the truth comes, it is going to offend the people under his control. And so we have to be willing to offend those that we love for their sakes. Jesus did. He was a rock of offense. The stone of stumbling. He offended. And that's because he brought the truth no matter what, whether they liked it or didn't like it. And one of the scriptures that this week that had been a real, it's been in me, I couldn't get rid of it, didn't try to, was in John 18:37. And Jesus made this strange statement. He said, Pilate asked him, he said, "Are you a king?" And he said, "You say that I'm a king." And what he was saying, it was like Tim said this morning, it was the affirmative. Yes, I'm a king. And to this end was I born, for this cause was I born, for this reason was I born. And we think, but that's not the whole picture. The rest of the picture is, I was born and I was sent for the express purpose of bearing witness to the truth. So how important then is the truth? And so does it matter if we find truth or not? See, when I heard the voice, 18 years ago or however long ago, it was pointing me towards something that I didn't know that I was looking for. And now I realize that's what we all are looking for. That we're looking to know God. Because to know God is life eternal. And not only did Jesus say that in John 17:3, but it's also told us back in the 12th chapter of Daniel. They that do know their God will be strong and do exploits. Meaning that some won't. But the only way you can find God is in what He said. And that's why I heard that thing 17 years ago. And Oh, one other thing. I realized the other day why I bring these messages. I've looked at it sometimes, and sometimes there's nobody here but me. But a lot of times Mondays is a bad day. Nothing comes. But by Tuesday, things begin to happen. And I thought, why do I keep bringing these messages? Because it doesn't make sense. Sometimes there's a couple people here, and I don't know who's hearing it, who's listening to it outside of the church. I feel sometimes that quite a few people are. But I realize why I bring them. You know the number one reason that I bring these messages? Is for me. It keeps me in the Word 7 days a week. Is that important? That's where eternal life is. Jesus said, the words that I speak, they're spirit, but they're life. Well, they're not natural life. They're spirit. They're eternal life. And so that's what it says in the to each of the seven churches. It says, he that hath an ear. And see, we haven't been really listening or hearing all the things that we read when we read these things. But he that hath an ear, let him hear what? What the Spirit is saying. Let him hear what the Spirit is saying to the church. What is the Spirit saying? Well, the thing for sure is that he is telling us that, there's one God. And we see that over and over and over. There's one mediator. And that was that good, that the way that Dominic was expressing that this morning. And I didn't understand that most of the kids that were listening in this on the conversation were Trinitarian. But you know why they're Trinitarian? Because of the Bible? No. Because of the church affiliation. See, that's why I say church affiliation is one of the most dangerous things that people can have. And, it won't cause me to have any friends because of it, but that's the truth. We don't go by the Bible. We go by whatever the church tells us. And so if you're Baptist, you believe the Baptist doctrine. And they say, and here's the strange thing about the Baptists. And I have gone to Baptist churches, so I'm familiar with this. And they say, well, some of the scriptures don't belong in the Bible. Like 1 Corinthians 14, that's not appropriate anymore. It doesn't apply. And so it shouldn't even be in the Bible. Well, what they have done is they have just put themselves above the Bible that exists and has been here for thousands of years. They have decided that some of it does not apply. Does that mean it doesn't apply? No, that means that they're deceived. That's all it means. And so the Bible doesn't say to decide what part you want to hear. It says that we are to hear it and let the Word work on us. That come into our system. Well, anyway, the hidden treasure. I'll get into this and see how I do. In Matthew 13:44, it's where it talks about the treasure that is hidden in a field. But anyway, men come up with riddles, and they say something, but they mean something else, in the riddle. And so the Word of God is no exception. It is a riddle. But the amazing thing about it is that you hear it, and you hear it, and you hear it, and you hear it, and the riddle begins to become solved. We begin to understand what the riddle is. And we have a lot of scriptures that tell us that God, there's one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. We have a lot of scriptures that tell us that. But there's a plain scripture. And those are the scriptures that we want to focus on. John 18:37 is a plain scripture. That's not different than any of the rest, but it's plain. And so when we see these plain scriptures, we want to grab a hold of them and hang on, wrap our arms around them, get a half Nelson on them, and hang on to the scripture, and then from that, build the rest of the foundation, because the Bible supports the fact that Jesus Christ was sent to bear witness to the truth. The entire Bible supports that. In the volume of the book, it is written of me, I come to do your will, O God. Is God going to promote truth, or is he going to promote something else? So he came with the express purpose of saying what God told him to say. And you know what? God has no reason to not tell the truth. We can be a little scared of opposition, and we can be a little frightful, and we can do our own thing. But when it comes to God, he's not in that same category. So he has no reason not to tell truth, because he's the one that made it. You know, he made all things. And so then he finds this only begotten Son who is going to come and going to speak expressly exactly what he told him to say. I'm going to put my words in his mouth. What are the words going to be? They're going to be words of truth, because that's who God is. And so along comes a Son who is not afraid to speak the words of God, of his Father. See, God had no problem down through the years and through the Old Testament prophets. He spoke what he wanted to say. And the prophets were willing to open their mouth and to say exactly what they were told to say. See, in the natural, it appears to say one thing, the scripture or whatever, but in the spirit realm, and that's where God dwells, it may mean something quite different than what it seems to say in the scripture, in the natural. So it requires God's Holy Spirit teacher to lead and guide men into God's hidden messages. And as such, many men will spend a lifetime and never know the deeper meanings that God has hidden within his word. They'll spend lifetimes. And so great is the mystery of godliness. Well, of course it is. Even though the Son has revealed the picture to us so as to give us the Godhead revelation, and the thing that is so amazing is that there are some things in the Scriptures that are super clear, and yet men turn to the hard to understand and Scriptures and they wallow in confusion. Is that the case? Hard to understand ones. Hard to understand. Boy, that don't make it hard. We've got to understand that. We're not able to understand it. It requires the Holy Spirit to lead us and guide us into the truth of these hard-to-understand scriptures. However, and this is a thing that is important, there are some easy scriptures to understand. At least, I believe, like 1 Timothy 2, 4, and 5, I think that's easy. I don't think that's a big, major thing. But it's not easy to understand if you're confused over hard-to-understand scriptures. Like the two in Colossians where it tells us that the UPC Oneness Church of today is confused because they read these scriptures, and it's like it pleased the Father that in him should dwell all fullness dwell. Well, come on, sort out the scripture. It pleased the Father that in him should all fullness dwell. It pleased somebody to give somebody else something. And so we got at least two people involved, or two something involved. And then it says, and in him dwelt the fullness of the Godhead bodily. And it's like, well, don't wallow around in that scripture. Turn to the one that says there's one God and one me. It's like we got a real, we want to understand without the Holy Spirit, is what the answer is. And because the relationship between the natural and the spiritual is so difficult for natural minds to understand, we can't understand the relationship. God has given us of his own divine spirit, so has revealed to man's spirit what God meant by what he said. And since the scriptures tell us to walk in the spirit, it has to mean that men are to be changed from natural to spiritual beings. God wants to change us. You know what's happening in this church? And I hear it. I mean, here's a handful of people, and so it's easy for us to get all puffed up and all whatever and think that we're really going somewhere, and we're not. But God in his mercy is doing a profound thing in this church. And so I go home after a church on, after a service on Sunday, and I hear the things that have been said, expressed and said in the church, and I think, do these guys understand that? Are we starting to understand these things, or are we talking off the top of our heads? And that's, the thing is, I realized, like this morning, I realized, you know what? The things that I heard, we are starting to understand. That's major. And Jesus told Nicodemus, and therefore the rest of us, he said that we must be born somehow of the Spirit. And in verse 5, or in verse 3, he said, see, that's in John 3, 5. In verse 3, he had said, we must be born again in order to have, or to visualize, or enter into God's kingdom. And I've had several strange experiences where I temporarily moved up. That was an interesting testimony by Corky this morning, because that's not something that I'm not familiar with. You know, I've had these strange experiences, but in where I have moved about in a way that I was totally unfamiliar with, I've had these experiences, and which has caused me to want to live by, to stay like that. Like that experience I had when Deliverance started in 82. I'd like to stay there. I haven't stayed there, but I'd like to. And it makes me wonder if maybe we can, if and when we do things the way that God wants us to do it, I'm wondering if maybe we can't. In 2 Corinthians 3:18, we are told that the Holy Spirit will change us into the image of God through Christ. I mean, I've kind of taken a little liberty, but that's what it says. From one state of glory to another. And in 2 Corinthians 3:16-17, we see that the contrast of the old covenant to the new, we see the contrast. And as such, when Moses, who was of the Old Testament law and customs, is read, there is a veil over the Jews' eyes. That's what it says. But don't we also see a veil over those today who treat the Old Testament like as if it was the new? There's a difference between the two. The Old Covenant is not part of the new. It's not something for the Christian to embrace the same as he does the new. It's different. And it's been abolished. It's been set aside. And you know what? I used to think it said the law has been put aside. It doesn't say that. It says the Old Testament. It's something we read. It is not something we go by. We are not under the legalisms of the Old Testament. And so there's a veil over people because of the Old Testament. In Deuteronomy 18:15, Moses said, when God raises up that greater than me prophet, unto him shall you hearken. And you know what? We don't see that. We don't understand what he's saying. He's saying, right now listen to me. But when God raises up this prophet like me, hear him. Hear him. Hear him. We don't hear him. We hear both of them. And we try to compromise or put the two in, and Moses does not fit in with Christ. It says that Christ was greater than Moses, as great as the builder is over the house that he builds. So he's saying, listen to him rather than listen to me. I mean, is that kind of what I heard some 17 years ago? I started listening to the New Testament with a vigor and a vim and whatever else that I had never known. It was a different thing. I started listening to it, but you know why I listened? I was told to. Isn't obedience better than sacrifice? I was told to. Do you know why you listened, you guys? Because something inside of you told you, this is what I got to do. You were told to do it. And now we are starting to reap the effects of something that we were doing that we didn't even know why we were doing it. In my mind, I had a good grasp of the scriptures. I have been listening to Bible studies. I have been a part of everything I've heard for 40 or 50 years. I hardly ever miss a message that came out of Seattle. The problem is, it took me a long time to realize that a lot of these things were not necessarily the truth. The Old Testament, the Old Covenant was fine in its day. However, this is not that day. And yet, very few churchgoers today even know the difference. And so rather than concentrating on the New Covenant, 27 books in the New Testament, which are books of eternal life, most people try to have a 66-book smorgasbord. And whereas they also include the abolished law into their New Covenant lifestyle. You know what happens when you include the Old Covenant in? You get legalistic. You won't get legalistic from the New Covenant. But if you include the Old Covenant in, you will get legalistic. Are you following me? Because you can't make the separation. And so, faith in Jesus Christ totally fulfills the requirements of the Old Testament law. And once Christ fulfilled the law, he became the spotless lamb so as to be sacrificed for the sins of all men. And once he was sacrificed, once his blood was shed, the law was done. It had no hold anymore, which then caused the law to be set aside and replaced by faith in Christ. And so when Moses, 14, verse 14, I don't know where I'm at, is read, studied, embraced, there's a veil upon the men's hearts. However, when men turn to the Lord, okay, this is in 2 Corinthians 3:16, the veil is then taken away. And I think that the ongoing intake of Christ through the New Testament is that which causes men to be changed from glory to glory. I am being changed. My personality is being changed. And it is an unbelievable thing. I can't see it. You can't see a picture of it. But my life is different. I think that what we are now seeing is maybe the word being made flesh. Not in the same way that it was made flesh with Christ, but we are being changed from glory to glory, and I think the word being made flesh in us is that change. Are you following me? No, I'm just saying I think. So that's not a doctrinal anything we can prove anything by. And is that possibly what Twyla saw in a little white room within our church? And it was over there, and she saw it over here. For some reason, we mostly sat on that side, but that's not the big reason for it. But she saw something. And since Jesus told us that the words that God spoke to him were spirit, and we eat those words and let the Holy Spirit digest those words within us, we develop the divine thought nature of God as we let those words be digested in us. Are you following me? As we take in those words, the thought nature. See, it says that, that by these exceeding great and precious promises, we become partakers of his divine nature. Meaning what? Aren't the thoughts of God the things that we're looking for, that we are hearing in those scriptures that is changing us? We are developing God's thought nature. Are we not being changed from natural to spiritual and from glory to glory? And that is why King James Version is probably right in 1 Peter 1:23 when it says, being born again. I am being changed by God's word. But you have to believe it in order to appropriate it. You can't say, well, I don't know if it's true or not. Well, I don't know, some of it's right, some of it's wrong. You know what? If I think a little bit of it's wrong, the sky is the limit. I can make anything wrong that I want. See, we try to understand spiritual words with natural understanding. And we come up with a variety of interpretations, which is why it requires the Holy Spirit to interpret accurately for us. And so by having a lot of interpretations, we have what we see around us, church organizations. And since God created us and knows that the natural mind is not able to interpret His spiritual truths, and being one who's on top of all things, God doesn't miss anything, being on top of all things, designed man so that if he will obey God, God has made a way for each man to walk and live in the realm of his spirit, which is foreign to the lower and carnal nature that plagues us. The carnal nature is not going to understand walking in the spirit. He's going to resist it. As a matter of fact, it says the things of God are foolishness to the natural man. Tongues. And I thought, how foolish is tongues? That's about as foolish as it can get. But God chooses foolish things to confound the wise. And I thought, how's Dominic going to do? Very super intelligent young fella. How's he going to do? And I told him the other day, I said, Dominic, do me a favor. When you're down to, you know, you can take an hour, you know, wherever you're at going to school. And once in a while, tune in and listen to the message that comes from Sunday nights or the testimonies from Sunday morning. And he said, I have already decided to do that. That has been his objective. That's what he wants to do. Now, I'm not sure if I'm totally accurate in all of this. However, there's a place somewhere close to us where God will open up doors of understanding, whereas we will know things that are totally unknown to us and as yet. See, as the Holy Spirit uses the eternal Word of God as truth to change us from glory to glory, of course our understanding is going to develop. I keep hearing a developed understanding. The kingdom of God comes without observation. However, it is not necessarily not observed by those who are in it. It's not observed by those who can't see it. He that hath an ear to hear, let him hear what the Spirit is saying. There's not very many that even have one ear that can hear what the Spirit is saying, because they are so natural and so carnal and so far removed from God's Word. See, you know why people are Trinitarians? They don't have a clue what the Bible says. You know why people believe that Jesus is his own father? They don't have a clue. He said, I was born and sent. That doesn't tell me that he is his own father. That tells me that somewhere there's a beginning. And I'm not sure that we're talking about both spirit and flesh, but I think the flesh had a beginning. God set it up that way. God gave him authority. He gave him dominion. He gave him power. He gave his son authority over all things that exist in heaven and in earth. But who gave it? Before we settle this thing, or this, we think about it, and we say, well, he's the Lord over all things. Bro, how did he get to be there? Does it matter? You better believe it matters. And so, as the Holy Spirit has the freedom to compare spiritual with spiritual to the one who is making the transition from natural to spiritual, of course, spiritual understanding is going to increase. My understanding is better, and my understanding is better right now than it was this morning because of the service this morning. That's why it says, don't forsake the assembling of yourselves together as the manner of some is. But much more, as you see that day approaching. Well, right now, we're not getting together a lot, and yet we are getting together 7 days a week, 24/7. We really are. One day I thought, we don't get together very much. One morning a week. I think God has designed it that way for us right now. Because I'm in the scriptures nonstop. I'm in it. I'll wake up tomorrow morning and I'll think, I'm not going to have anything this week, I don't think. And by Monday or Tuesday morning, I wake up and there's no limit. In comes these things that keep coming in and I can't get rid of them. And I'm not trying to. Revelations. And I thought, why do they come? Nobody's listening anyway. Or very few. What's the reason for this message? And then it came to me. One of the biggest reasons for the message is for your sake. Because it is doing an inward change in me that is marvelous. And so, men are going to get the knowledge of the one true God and His only begotten Son, the man Christ Jesus. And how important is this issue? It is the difference between eternal life and eternal death. This is life eternal. King James. This is eternal life. That they would know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom you have sent. That's the difference. And yet, rather than carefully hear the word of God through Christ and get the actual declaration, men swallow the camels of false private interpretations. This sounds familiar? They swallowed the camels in Matthew 23:24, and they strain over inherited doctrines and traditions nowhere found within God's Word. They swallow things. The Trinity. Down it goes. But they strain over these stupid things that mean nothing. The Trinity is inherited doctrine, not found anywhere within the Scriptures, and whenever men blindly embrace anything like it, it shows the lack of confidence that men actually have in the eternal Word of God. And see, that is the problem. And of the Holy Spirit. And as such, the Holy Spirit cannot, nor will not, support such a doctrine. Now, God may have winked at man's ignorance, but He is not going to support a doctrine and confirm something like that. In the end, we are going to see truth and understanding come to a people. And they're going to be the outcasts and hated ones of the everything that exists. We see the ongoing useless efforts of men trying to desperately to use their natural senses and logic to prove something that's not scriptural. What a mess we have. And as I talked to Dominic the other day, a little bit, I mean, you heard him more so today than what I heard before, I realized that the problem is that the church does not use God's word. They don't use it because they don't have confidence in it. They have more confidence in people, in a man with a robe on, with a teacher they can see. Now, we had a lot of different teachers in this church, but you know what? There's not any of them that I want to put my soul into their hands. I don't care who they were. And some of them were good. And so the logic I heard was saying to me, or the voice I heard was saying to me, if you want to really find God seriously, then you have to find and discover the treasure that is carefully hidden and yet in plain sight. The treasure is hidden in plain sight. When the Bible says if the treasure is hidden in a field and you find it, you buy the field and you sell everything you have to buy the treasure, the field, because that's where the treasure is. Well, you know what? Remember what the testimony of Dominic? He told about this young boy that he got rid of all of his drugs and whatever else he possessed. He got rid of them. What a phenomenal thing for a young boy to do. He got rid of it. You know what we have to do? We got to get rid of whatever is not the truth. Get rid of it. And when somebody actually finds God's word of truth and know by faith that it is the truth, then he sells all of the doctrines and theories of men and buys God's truth and sells it not. Didn't the Bible say, buy the truth and sell it not? See, the church systems seldom, if ever, actually ever find God's word of truth. God's word is hidden in a maze of worthless books that men and demons have come up with so as to confuse the gullible and the lukewarm church sleepers. The lukewarm and the gullible are confused. The truth that actually makes men free is hidden within the pages of a book that men continue to read and yet without a clue as to what they are actually reading. Have I ever done that? For years, I read it, and I read it, and I read it, and I read it. And you know what? It meant nothing. And so all the king's horses and all the king's men cannot reveal what only the Holy Spirit can. And so men turn to men and get logical theories, and that is the foundation for many of today's church organizations. And yet, Jude 19 talks about a people who separate themselves. That means lots of different groups over wherever. By using their natural senses. Is that not what we have? You know what it says, the last part of that verse? They don't have the Holy Spirit. And so no matter what people claim, they say, well, we have the Holy Spirit. Well, we're saying, where's the evidence? According to the scriptures, the foundation for unity is the truth. And so they're going to have unity through diversity. And I'm thinking, where do they come up with that? That's logic. That's man's idea. But it's not supported by the scriptures. See, if the Holy Spirit actually was leading and guiding all men into he would bring him into the same truth. As such, when it says they separate themselves, we know that the Holy Spirit is not involved. He's not involved, or they wouldn't separate. They would be brought stronger and stronger together. The love that you have for one another, in John 16, I think it says, is the evidence that God is with you. They will know you by your love for one another. You tell me if love exists out here between these churches. And we go to these, I'll be real plain here, even no matter who's listening, to the jail ministries banquets and go to these things. And I'll go to the next one. I mean, because, you know, I've got no reason not to. But the thing behind it is there's a deception involved in it. And the deception is we have a lot of people who actually can't stand each other are sitting at tables together because they disagree in the most vital thing ever, and that's in what the Bible teaches. They disagree. They're trying to have unity through diversity. I'll tell you what, let the lights turn on. Let some things happen. And we'll see how much they love each other. After a while, as we continue to listen to God's word of eternal truth, truth becomes things become more and more obvious. For instance, the value of truth and the fact that God's very nature is all truth. God's nature is truth. And you and I and all other people may be pressured through fear to compromise the truth. We could be pressured through fear. Apparently, Peter was. I don't know what happened, but a pressure somewhere inside of him caused him to even deny the Lord. And he went out and he wept bitterly. Well, you know, so did Judas. He repented. Didn't do him any good because his heart wasn't right. It did Peter good because Peter's heart was right. Do you know what I'm saying? And so, and I don't know where I'm at here. I'll get it. Oh, okay. We may be pressured to oppose the things that we have learned. We could be pressured to do it. But God is never pressured. And so he doesn't compromise. And so along comes his son. You know, he ordained him. He set him up. He made him Lord in Christ. He was born and sent. And he tells us that himself. In order to be born, you have to have a beginning somewhere. As a man. As such, the Son of God, with total confidence in his Father, he stood firm in the truth and thereby bore perfect witness to God's truth. He says, I was sent to bear witness to the truth. And see, Pilate and the world and most of today's church is oblivious or unmindful of, or without consideration for the truth. What is truth? Does it matter? Does it matter to most people that are out here in the church system? Uh-uh. You know what? We need to support this church. Is it truth? Well, that's not the problem, or the thing. It is God's church. And Jesus told Pilate that everyone that is of the truth hears his voice. I tell you what, that's interesting. Try that's the last sentence in the 37th chapter, or verse of the 18th chapter, which makes me wonder if Christ is not the sum total of all truth. So whatever he said was truth. He that continues in my words is my disciple, and he will know the truth. Why? Because Christ was committed to the truth. Do you follow me? He wouldn't speak anything that was not. And so, when the Holy Spirit takes of the things of Christ, and that's what it says in John 16:14, it shows it to us, he is therefore not in the truth, is he not the truth of God for the eternal salvation of all men? Of course he is. The Old Testament, or the God that has to humble himself to even behold the heaven, the things of heaven and earth, that's in Psalms 113, mysteriously and supernaturally brought forth a one-of-a-kind son born of a virgin that the Holy Spirit fertilized, one of her seeds or her eggs, and God has given to that son to have authority over all of his creation. Now, is that something God can't do? With God, all things are possible. Can God bring forth a son, fertilize the eggs of a woman, and call him his son, his only begotten son? You know, that doesn't make sense. But it doesn't have to. Whatever God does, God does. And some of these things, we're going to be in heaven before we ever understand it, if we do ever understand. And he has somehow used that son that he created to create. And he will also one day use that son that he created to judge the living, the righteous and the unrighteous. And of course that confuses those without a genuine love for the truth. Most people already think that they know, so they hear and read to prove rather than hear to understand. See, those who somehow begin to grasp the unlimited greatness of God begin to understand that we were created so as to be ever learning, since there is no limit or end . You guys got any extra hands? Those who begin to understand the greatness of God understand that we were created to be ever learning, in which it tells us about in 2 Timothy 3:7. However, what you learn is going to matter as to what you retain, which prevents. And if you're learning the wrong thing, you'll never come to the knowledge of the truth. The whole is, it's not wrong to be ever learning. It's what's the problem is to be ever learning the wrong thing. And so, the Holy Spirit is God, and not another member of the Godhead. And so, as it requires faith in order to believe God, or in God, it also requires faith in order to properly benefit by the Holy Spirit. Men want teachers that they can see, while real faith, through real faith, God actually activates the God-given, invisible Holy Spirit teacher. And that's what has happened to us. You know what? I have yet to see the Holy Spirit. But I, you know what? If anything, Corky should have realized the other morning that was the Holy Spirit was involved. How do you have something like that happen without realizing the Holy Spirit got involved? He's involved even when we don't know it. When that angel appeared and kept me from falling and getting shish kebabbed, was there somebody there? I saw him. He was right here. He had a hold of me. Brittany was from here to, well, I don't know, he's about from here to Charlie away from me, or Ken, he wasn't very far. She wasn't. With a big flashlight point aimed at me and never saw anybody. But there was somebody there by me that had a hold of my arm and got me up on the hill, up on the path. Are there unseen forces that we don't realize are there? And I mean, that's the other realm that exists. That's the more perfect one than the one we live in. And so, real faith rejoices at the inward change as men experience a change that defies the natural laws of men. However, and unknown to the natural laws of men, or to a lot of ignorant churchgoers, the Holy Spirit is very fussy about the curriculum that he uses. I couldn't resist that. He's very fussy about the curriculum that he uses. As a matter of fact, it tells us in Ephesians 6:17 that we are to take the sword of the Holy Spirit, which is the Word of God. The sword of the Holy Spirit, which is the Word of God. The sword of the Holy Spirit, which is the Word of God. Ephesians 6:17. Does it take a lot of scriptures like that to tell us that? Is that the only one? No, that's not. I would like to say that the Holy Spirit only uses a curriculum of truth. And so when people are in false doctrine and try to get the Holy Spirit involved, they're not going to get spiritual help that God does not agree with. God is not going to give us help with something he doesn't agree with. And so, would that then explain the Jude 19 situation? Of course, it explains it. Where it says they have not the Spirit, how about the Holy Spirit can't and won't help them? See, the Holy Spirit is only going to promote the will of God. He's not going to promote men's will. He's going to promote the truth. And so when men try to get the Holy Spirit to work against the things of God, that is a form of mockery. Is it or is that? Is that a form of mockery? In Luke 10:42, Jesus told Martha, he said, see, she was fuming and fretting over the fact that Mary was not helping her do the chores and getting ready for a big luncheon they were about to have. But anyway, he told Martha, he says, one thing is needful. One thing is needful. And Mary has chosen the good part. One thing is needful. That's what it says in Luke here. One thing is needful. That's what you and I have been doing. We have discovered the one thing that is needful. And Mary has chosen the good part. And that good part is not going to be taken away from her. Somehow Jesus spent a lifetime of choosing the good part. And now, thanks to the mercy and the grace of God, God is revealing to us exactly what that good part is. See, somehow, Mary recognized that not only listening to the word of God through Christ was and is the good part, and of course, people like Smith Wigglesworth, he also recognized it. And now, God is revealing to us and others in this untoward generation, in this time frame, and we are recognizing the good part. We're beginning to. And it's not going to be taken away from us. And so God is revealing to us and others in this untoward time that His eternal word is all that us or anyone else needs in order to take into our system. We don't need these other things. And God has also made His word spiritually tasty and desirable. I love it. I can't get enough of it. While the legalistic crowd sees God's word as a chore. Been there, done that. You know what I'm going to do tonight? I'm going to make myself read the Bible for a half hour. You guys ever been there? And still, while men are digging holes here and there in the shifting sands looking for the treasures of God, I'm going to say that again. While men are digging holes in the shifting sands, looking for the buried treasures of God, men carry about the treasure boxes under their arms, full of eternal treasures for their souls, but they lack the faith, and the churches help them to not find it. They lack the faith to open the treasure box and find God's word. See, the faith that comes by hearing, how much hearing? It takes faith to unlock their treasure boxes and to find the eternal treasure from God. And what a shock on the day of judgment when men discover that the little black box that people religiously carried around under their arms or set in a place of honor in their houses, it's a treasure box, actually was full of healthy spiritual foods that would fill their souls with the divine nature of God's thoughts and slowly change them into the image and the likeness of God through Christ. The manna that God gave Israel in the desert was a type of His word. And so when Christ says, I am the manna, or the bread that came down from heaven, that's the only possible thing. Even though the eating of His flesh, the word was made flesh. So it has to have a connection like that somehow. But that manna was a type of God's word. Let's see if I can drown that frog. And had every nutrient within it that the natural body could ever want or need. And so when Jesus said, I am the bread, the manna that came down from heaven, he had to mean the life-giving word that gives eternal life to men's souls and spirits. He had to mean that. You're not going to gain anything from eating His flesh. But you are going to gain by eating the word that was made flesh. Or he might as well have been saying, I am the word that came down from God with the life-giving substance for men's souls. I mean, that is who he was. And so was Christ the word of God? Of course. And so is God also the word of God? Of course. But which does not make the Son his own father? But rather, God made His eternal word into the flesh of His only begotten Son, and as God's intentions also to make His eternal word into the flesh of those who will come out from whatever is not that word. God wants to make me into His Word. He wants to make His Word into me.
Yes, He does.
And you. I fully, at one time I fully came out. I was in a denominational church, and I experienced the power of God's Word of truth. I didn't all of a sudden see this, it didn't illuminate and get bright and start doing things. But the power of God's Word in me, that's all I had, in a very immature state. You know what? And that kind of goes along with what Pablo was saying this morning. That was a good testimony. And it's not how much truth we have. It's whether we want the rest of it or not. A love for the truth will classify us in the same place as if we had all truth. If we have a love for the truth and we disdain the things that are not the truth, we're in the same category. And so I came out and experienced God's power. However, and now by the mercy of God, God has again taken me out of the concepts and the tradition of today's untoward church generation. I'm coming out of these things. I never realized how bad we had gotten until the Holy Spirit revealed it to me in and of the words of God's truth. See, it took me listening to God's word before I realized where I have been. When Peter told those on the day of Pentecost to come out from that untoward, the untoward generation, and in Acts 2:40, it tells us that when, with many other words, I just caught that. Where it says that he said, come out from this untoward generation, it said, with many other words did he tell them. So it wasn't just that he said. But it's not recorded, but it doesn't have to be. He warned them, and other translations use the word corrupt instead of untowards. Come out from this corrupt generation. In a couple of some of the translations. Why is it corrupt? See, the Jewish leaders had corrupted God's word, and that's just like we have today. God's word is corrupted. And so people go to a church and they say, oh, I go to church. I'm going into God's house. It's not God's house. It's a place with corrupted teachings and doctrines. And so what it's going to do, it's going to set people up to oppose God when God finally moves and does His thing someday. Men cannot be saved when and if they corrupt God's words of truth. For men can be saved, nor can they be saved unless they willingly receive a love. And I mean love, you know, God's type of love for His eternal words of truth. God has plainly and abundantly given men His words of truth. And now God asks all men to resist the devil's attempts to corrupt His word. Is that what He asks? Resist the devil's attempt to corrupt it. Resist it. Charles Schaeffer, Ken Betcher, Bunny Wolf, resist God's or the devil's attempts to corrupt God's word. And to allow the Holy Spirit to reveal truth to us through God's word. Jesus made it plain that we can only be sanctified by the truth. Sanctify them through your truth. Your word is truth. I tell you what, we're not talking about the corrupted word that men use in their churches. We're talking about the real thing. You know what? I want it. I want the real thing. The devil knows the effect it would have upon him if and when God would raise up a word of truth people. The devil is a liar. He's the father of liars, it says. And so he also knows that the truth would make a people free from his deceptions. Does he like you right now? And so he has to deceive people in order to have rule over them. And if he's the God of this world, and you look around, he's been very effective.